adrift in all the technology here in the room right now.
Did you miss me yesterday?
Were you gone? I'm trying. Let's see.
Roger, were you? You weren't here?
Here.
I could have sworn I saw you.
Gosh. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you were delayed doing something. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. But yes, you are here.
Yes. And I will have no more conflicts. I completed my second term, and I am term limited off the I was a part of the zoning board.
Okay, all right. So that's what there was a board meeting yesterday.
Yes.
Okay.
But I've completed my 6 years, and now I have time off for good behavior.
There you go. Okay. So is that a threat or a promise that you're not going to have any conflicts?
Well, we'll see how the day goes. You tell me if it's a threat or a promise.
We'll figure it out, I guess. But all right. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. That's Roger Taylor over there. And unlike yesterday, he had no conflicts. We tried real hard to give him one, but but sadly, he's here with us.
Yeah, so, my key still worked in the back door.
I guess, we're going to have to work hard on that with a locksmith here in the next couple of days. But in the meantime, you have some new technology over there. So,
I have a tablet that works since I successfully made my previous tablet a paperweight. Oops. If you jailbreak a tablet, so it's not embedded with one cell phone carrier, that works okay. The problem is if you ever corrupt your operating system and need to replace it, nobody recognizes your machine anymore, and so it becomes a paperweight.
Okay.
And
that would be a problem.
Ask me if I was frustrated when I found out what ultimately I had done to myself.
Yeah, you know, I have a tablet myself. It's yellow, and I need a pen to write on it.
Ah, okay.
So you know, that's the kind of tablet I
have. That's a stylus
right now.
It's not a pen.
No, so, in my house, it's a pen and a pad of paper. That's what it is.
But you can still call it a stylus,
and you
sound state of the art.
See, yeah, but of course, at home, they know I'm not state of the art.
Oh, wow.
You know, they know. It's like, yeah, I was drug kicking and screaming into having an Xbox, actually. So,
really?
It's...
Do you play games on it now?
Oh, I do now. Yeah, absolutely.
But quality time with the boys?
As much as can be had. The 4-year-old's not so much into football,
which is what
we play on there. So,
okay.
So I think he's got his own games, which are just not anything I'd want to do. But you know,
well, and soon he'll be the go-to person in your household for technology issues. That's the first thing I do around here is if I have a problem with something, go to one of the kids. These kids know how to work this stuff. They've never known when there wasn't this stuff.
You know, it's funny because I think about that and I think, okay, my 12-year-old, he doesn't know of a time when the internet did not exist.
Right.
And, you know, he doesn't understand. And, of course, you know, my 4-year-old thinks that phones are that fun toy that mom and dad have on them at all times, and they do fun things instead of a thing you can make a phone call on.
Right.
You know, there's all these apps and everything.
Games. It's,
you know,
the internet.
It's funny. The 4-year-old comes to me all the time. Can I play on your phone? No. That's not happening.
Do you have games on your phone?
Of course I do.
Okay. Well, that's what he wants to play.
Of course, yeah. No. And he will hover over my shoulder if I happen to be, you know, messing around with any of these things, you know. And usually the games that I get are free ones.
Well, of course.
Because I'm cheap, you know.
Yeah. Frugal. Not cheap.
No, I'm
frugal.
Cheap. But no, but I'll get these things that I figured out the whole, the app of the week thing. So it's like, oh, hey, something that's normally paid that's now free.
Yeah.
Okay. I can handle that. And I look around for the other free stuff. So I've found a lot of different things that have been free that are fun things.
Well, that's how I ended up dorking up my previous tablet. okay. is I added so many free things that I had to start clearing stuff off because I was running out of room.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the deleting stuff where apparently I ran amok because I deleted one piece of the operating system.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to do.
And that was not my intention. And then I found out that I couldn't replace my operating system.
Aha.
And,
Nevertheless, you've got yourself a different one there that actually works.
Yes, so far.
Well, we'll have to sabotage. I mean, here in a little bit. I tell you what, interesting things today. And I have to admit, I'm a little jealous of our morning show, Kalamazoo's Morning News. Because they had an opportunity to talk with Governor Rick Snyder this morning, which apparently was a very wide-ranging conversation. I only heard a part of it this morning. But as part of this, they talked with Governor Snyder about the right-to-work legislation that came through and the different things about that. And he ended up talking with him. He had this to say about that.
The part we're seeing benefits already is the pipeline of opportunities in terms of companies looking at Michigan has increased significantly. We were sort of being screened out because of that particular issue, and now we're no longer screened out. So in terms of the pipeline that site selectors and businesses are saying, are they interested in looking at Michigan as a place to come? We're doing much better now.
So I think basically he's saying there that, that more employers are looking at Michigan as, well, maybe we could locate there, right to work. Yeah. And that's been kind of the thing that he's looked at and said, well, maybe it's been a good thing for the state. Right to work, it certainly was controversial. I remember watching that from a distance when that happened for the state of Michigan. The interesting thing about it is that since that time, the protest took place, and then nothing. Mm-hmm. There's just been sort of this that's settled in that, okay, it's the law now, and it is what it is, and here we go.
Well, I think that the people who were opposed to right to work know that it's going to take elections to address that. Unlike Republicans with Obamacare that have tried to sabotage it. They've tried to repeal it 42 times, even though they know they can't be successful until they win at least one, if not several, elections to change the Senate and to have a president that's not going to veto whatever they're doing.
Certainly.
And I think that you'll see the right to work surface as the election of governor comes up this November. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find that there's still opposition to right to work out there.
With
our legislature controlled by Republicans both in the House and the Senate and a Republican governor, there's nothing to be done about right to work now. And so
there's the question though. I mean, will that be enough to be a problem for the governor? He's running for re-election. We pretty much know that anyway. I don't know. Has he announced it?
Not to my knowledge.
Chances are he's running.
Assumed he is. Yeah.
So, if you think about that, is that going to be a detriment to him getting another 4 years as being governor of the state? I'm just not sure, given the polling data that we've seen.
Well, but even a majority of elected officials in Michigan are not for the right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But are they in the right places? That's the question.
Well, I guess we'll find out next November. I wouldn't... because things are quiet now doesn't mean right to work isn't going to be a hurdle for Governor Snyder to go over before having a second term. Whether it's enough, I don't know.
Given the presence of unions in the state and historically how strong they've been, I mean, it's you figure it's going to come up. It's going to have to. I don't know that they're going to necessarily just accept that that's the way that it is. It's just amazed me how quiet it's been since all of this came off. It got passed. He signed it and the whole bit. And then it just kind of protests died and life went on.
Yeah. But what is it? Don't accept. Don't consider calm with acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I think that the right to work will be an issue between mm-hmm. what appears to be Mark Schauer and Governor Snyder. Mm-hmm. Mark Schauer, an avid in his opposition to right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's going to be an election issue, whether it's big enough to change the mm-hmm. results. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Now, in terms of right to work itself, I mean, you know, the governor is saying that it's been a benefit to the state in terms of new business coming to the state, you know, looking at Michigan and saying, well, we could locate there. And so, you know, you can kind of see that. I've heard some debates and some elements talking about, is right to work actually good for unions? Because there are some that would say, you know what, it makes them do their job a little bit better. You know, I kind of look at it to say right to work, bottom line, it seems like kind of common sense to me that you ought to have the right to be able to say, all right, I want to work here and I don't want to necessarily have to be a part of the union.
But I think the governor is being vague because
well, he's being a politician, though. I mean, that's,
well, but there's no specific jobs that can be tied to Michigan passing the right to work law. So he's talking in general terms that, mm-hmm. well, we're on lists, but there's been a considerable amount of study done about Oklahoma, because mm-hmm. They passed their right to work law in 2001. And a number of studies have compared their employment results with the six states that surround them. And in the 9 years they've been able to analyze, this takes us up through 2010, mm-hmm. There's the unemployment rates in Oklahoma match the surrounding states that are not right to work. And well, so it hasn't saved jobs, nor has it reduced unemployment in the state of Oklahoma compared to mm-hmm. The contiguous states that surround it.
Well, and you know, we know economies are a complex thing. So to say that, you know, right to work is responsible or that type of thing or not responsible, I mean, there's a lot more going into an economy than that. But one thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, you look regionally to be able to say, okay, around Michigan, you've got Ohio and you've got the different things that are going on there business-wise, Wisconsin, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Indiana. Mm-hmm. And in Indiana, you've seen business growth take place in a lot of ways, particularly over, I'd say, the last 6 years. A lot of businesses locating there and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think it makes sense that Michigan be at least competitive there? And maybe luring some of those jobs that go to Indiana, bring them here.
But if you want to get yourself into a race to the bottom, then your approach
But it's not
works...
a race to the bottom to get jobs to the state.
That's... Oh, but there's other ways to measure it. When you look at how a state takes care of their environment, for instance, mm-hmm. Indiana is number 50 of the 50 states in the country. When you look at their education system in Indiana, mm-hmm. It's at the bottom of the list. Even before right to work, Indiana's strategy was to be the bottom feeder. They were the cheapest place to do business in the Midwest. That was their marketing approach. And their passing right to work just goes along with their whole strategy of being the cheapest place in the Midwest to do business. And if that's your goal, if you're not concerned about education, if your only concern is jobs, then perhaps what you're saying is a reasonable approach. But when you look at the entirety of what state governments do in protecting the environment, protecting children, I mean, the state of Indiana's idea for dealing with kids falling off of Medicaid because they had mental issues was their advice to parents was to drop your children off at a hospital if you can't afford them anymore without their Medicaid support. And if you want a state like that.
Here's the thing. You're talking about, okay, well, you know, if you're focused on jobs, then okay, you can do all that. But here's the thing. Aren't jobs the lifeblood for everything else you would want to do in a state? I mean, let's say, for instance, we want the roads to be better. Isn't it good so that people have jobs, so that we've got tax dollars flowing in to be able to take care of roads and bridges and various things like that? Can't do much unless we get some tax revenue coming in, can't we?
But if you don't take care of other issues, then those businesses can't attract the level of talent they need to be successful.
Which is something business will take into account when they're looking at this
who's
stuff.
Who's going to want to live in Gary, Indiana, for instance?
Well, Gary, Indiana is, I mean, that's quite another thing when you compare it versus Indianapolis or some of the other cities there. I mean, it's a totally different animal.
My point still is that it isn't the tax rates that keep people from wanting to live in Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. It isn't. No, it's Gary, Indiana, basically.
Exactly. And if you turn your whole state into a Gary, Indiana.
Oh, now, you can't say that about Indiana. Come on.
But I can tell you that in a number of specific measures, Indiana is a bottom feeder. They're a southern state in the middle of the Midwest.
A southern state, really?
When you look at economics, when you look at education levels,
even
they
got all these jobs flowing they've had one of the best unemployment rates.
They are much more akin to Mississippi, Alabama, the southern states than they are the rest of the Midwestern states. They're dramatically different than Illinois and Ohio.
So in other words, we should just let Indiana keep all these new jobs coming in. We won't worry about attracting jobs to the state? I mean, come on.
But right to work cannot fix that problem.
Well, it doesn't fix the problem, but it's not the only thing the state's doing to attract that sort of thing, I would think.
And I guess if you want to live in a state like Indiana, that's your option.
Continuing on with the debate here in just a little bit, the show continues ahead. Portion of the show brought to you by Bronson, rated best in Michigan for neurosurgery by Health Grades. Learn more at BronsonNeuroscienceCenter.com.
You know, we're going to have to someday record our continuing arguments during the commercial break.
No, it slowed down a little bit, but you continued it right through until we got to the, and I had, no, Roger, we got to turn the mics on. Come on.
Yep.
So anyway, I think, you know, we were really talking about, you know, is right to work a good thing? And I think in terms of in the mix of looking at a lot of different factors that would attract businesses to a state, I think it is one good factor to be able to work in. And so businesses can look at that and go, oh, okay, that's an added benefit. It's not the thing that's going to attract jobs to any one state. And let's face it, Indiana has been attracting jobs to their state for a long time before they even passed.
Oh, absolutely.
Right to work didn't necessarily have anything to do with that.
Right to work was just the frosting on their cake. which has always been the cheapest place in the Midwest to do business.
Which some businesses look at as a good thing.
Yeah, some do.
But
not all.
No,
and,
not
and
at all.
That's the graph I was showing you, that when you look at Oklahoma, in the 9 years since they passed right to work, their unemployment rate is actually higher than the states that surround them.
All right. Continue the debate. CBS News coming up, though. Keep it here. And the show continues. Reminder to you as you listen to the show, you know, don't let us have all the fun. You can be a part of the fun as well. Because we actually have these things called phones.
And we're both available for arguing with.
Yeah, you know, that's what we do here, so, as you can tell.
Yeah.
So 382-4280 is our local number. Of course, toll-free 877-382-4280. I mean, you know, this and any topic that we talk about. You know, we were talking about the Pope the other day. If you wanted to argue about the Pope, yeah, we'll talk to you. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could.
Yeah.
You know.
Why would you want to talk to us about the Pope?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't have any idea, because I'm not Catholic.
Me either.
So, you know.
So we know nothing, but that never stops us talking about things.
We're letting people in on our little secret. We know nothing. Come on. You're not supposed to say that on the air.
Ooh. What was I thinking?
See, but the proper thing is you say that you know nothing, and I'm the one with all the answers.
Right,
so here
right.
you go. You know.
there'll be a cold day before that happens.
So we've been talking about right to work. If you want to chime in on that, it's a perfect time to do so. Governor Rick Snyder had some comments to say, and he said them right here on this station. Kalamazoo's Morning News had him. And talking about the business community and, you know, how things have gone in the state. And if you weren't with us earlier, he did have one thing to say that we wanted to share with you that he said this morning right here.
The part we're seeing benefits already is the pipeline of opportunities in terms of companies looking at Michigan has increased significantly. We were sort of being screened out because of that particular issue, and now we're no longer screened out. So in terms of the pipeline that site selectors and businesses are saying, are they interested in looking at Michigan as a place to come? We're doing much better now.
So there you go. I mean, the governor says, you know, we're doing much better when it comes to companies that want to locate here or, you know, bring jobs and do some development in the state. We've been arguing about that, and we'd like to get you in on the fun as well. 382-4280-877-382-4280 is our number as well, and you could be a part of the program right here on 590 KZO.
I'm reminded of a guy that looks like me asking beautiful women out on dates, and they all say no, but I'm at least being declined by much better-looking women, and that's sort of what the governor was saying this morning.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean,
we're getting rejected by a much higher class of company who aren't coming to Michigan.
Well, if you look at it, though, I mean, think about this. Right to work has been in effect for, what, a year?
Mm-hmm.
In a year's time, in an economy that's kind of, maybe, you're not going to be able to attract a ton of jobs to come to the state anyway.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard to get jobs to show up. I mean, they just don't materialize out of thin air. You know, you got to work on this stuff.
Well, that's what was interesting about this study of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And even after 10 years, they can't show any proof that it's affected anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing they've discovered is with their competing states, since they passed right to work, their unemployment rate has gone up 0.1% over the surrounding states. So even there, we can't see what good right to work is doing, and it's not demonstrating there's any bad there either.
We'll have to keep the conversation going about that here in just a little bit.
Let's talk weather.
382-4280 is the phone number, 877-382-4280. We are going to keep the conversation going here in just a little bit. But right now, we want to turn to the topic of the weather, and it might actually be a sort of positive thing to talk about. Bob Larson is with us. Bob, at least some better stuff is ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, better stuff. We're taking baby steps. We got the sun to come out today, right? That's a good start. The snow stopped.
Baby steps to the sun. Baby steps to a slightly higher temperature, right?
Right. So we take what we can get. Number one, the snow stopped. Number two, clouds are giving way to some sunshine. Number three, we'll go above freezing tomorrow.
There you go.
Above freezing.
Yeah.
How long has it been since we've been above freezing, Bob?
Well, we'd have to go back. And then I'll have to look that up for you. Let me see. December 5th, which would be 2 weeks prior to tomorrow. So basically, we'll have gone through a two-week straight period of below freezing. And that's awfully impressive for the first half of December. You see that sometimes in January and February, not so much early December. But that's what we have just come through, and we break that streak tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Okay. All right. So,
now, with the milder weather, I have to point out, not exactly delightful and beautiful. We are seeing the sun today. Do not believe we see the sun tomorrow. It's likely to be cloudy and also a little rainy and drizzly and foggy because as the milder, more moist air comes in over the cold, snow-covered ground, that will create fog.
Okay. Hmm. So our word for today, anyway.
The word for today is thaw.
Okay.
All right.
You hear sometimes about the January thaw, which sometimes will take place briefly in late January. Well, this is a December thaw, not likely to last all that long, maybe a couple of days, but then at least we could say that for a while it has warmed up. Now, as we look ahead, I think there'll be some more rain, drizzle, and fog on Friday. For a while, late Thursday night, late tomorrow night, Friday morning, we could be right around 31, 32 degrees, so that might end up being a little bit of freezing drizzle for a while. It's going to be a close call. Then it's above freezing again Saturday. The next storm to come along initially brings us rain in the Saturday night, Sunday morning time frame. That could change over to snow before ending. It's a lot colder again as we hit Christmas week.
Okay,
Bob, are we going to have a white Christmas?
You ask him that every day.
I know.
I believe we will. We're going to lose certainly a lot of the snow here over the next few days, but I don't believe we lose all of it, and we will replenish at least some of it with some new snow that comes in the late Sunday-Monday time frame. Even if we don't get all that much from the storm, I think there will be lake-effect snow showers Monday that will add a couple of inches. So, yes.
Okay.
All right. So if we don't get snow for Christmas and don't have that white Christmas, you can send your complaints to Bob Larson.
That's right.
From AccuWeather.
Yeah.
We won't blame you, Bob. You're the messenger.
Okay.
And we shoot the messenger.
Oh, I would.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right. So at the very least, some less unpleasant things ahead.
That's right.
But a little bit of snow on the horizon maybe next week.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe later Sunday and Monday.
Okay. Bob Larson from AccuWeather. Thanks, Bob,
for
giving us the updates.
Take care, guys.
Bye, Bob.
And as the show continues, right to work. Good, bad, indifferent? Roger and I have very different opinions of things. We want to hear your opinion as well, though. Give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as the show continues. And the show continues on. It's 29 degrees here at the studios, not inside, thankfully.
Yes, it's warmer than that.
It's probably a comfortable 71 degrees in here. Actually, the thermostat says 74 over there, but I'm not buying that. I don't think it's that warm in here. But not that anyone cares how warm it is where we're sitting. What you actually care about is, hopefully, what we're talking about, which is we've been talking right to work. Is it good or bad for the state of Michigan? Now, Governor Rick Snyder on the show this morning on Kalamazoo's Morning News right here on WKZO talked about how it's kind of helped in terms of opportunities of companies looking at Michigan and looking to bring jobs and locate factories and various things here. So he's talked about, you know, that that seems to have turned upward ever since the passage of right to work. But is it ultimately good for the state? Love to get your opinion on this. 382-4280 is the phone number locally. Toll free, it's 877-382-4280. Heading to the phones right now and chatting with Phil in Kalamazoo. Phil, welcome.
Yes, sir. Number one, concerning unions. Unions are not caused by anybody other than management. I'll use my own perfect example. I was a deputy sheriff, and things had gone really good. The county sheriff was constantly telling us what a good job we're doing. Every October, the heads of different departments would sit down with the county board of commissioners and set up a budget for the following year and wage increases. The sheriff went in and he says, you know, if you get these guys just a $200 or $300 raise a year, they're going to be happy, but they're doing a terrific job, and they cost about one-third of what a state copper is costing, and we're coming out way financially ahead. A CPA who happened to have a job on the Board of Commissioners said, tell them to get the hell out of here. We don't need them. We'll replace them with state police people. We ain't paying them damn fools nothing. And the sheriff turned around, left the meeting, and he called a meeting of the department. And he says, I can't tell you guys what to do because I'm the super manager here. But if you guys don't form a union, you're crazier than hell. Needless to say, an hour or two later, there was a union formed. We had our own local. And just to give you an idea how corrupt some of the fools were that caused the union to come into existence, when they said in public, we don't have any money to give you guys raises, we went through the budget line by line. Guess how much floor wax the county had? $88,000 worth of floor wax. In the previous year, they used $800 worth. These are the kind of college-trained fools that have tried to take and put employees down as far as they can so they can scarf up as much money as they possibly can and put it in their own pockets. The Hostess Twinkies deal was, again, total corruption on the part of college-trained people who wanted to destroy a union. They destroyed the union, and they didn't destroy the product. They walked out of there multi-millionaires over and over. Roger had a number of the really good stories about it. When this jackass ran for governor, and he says, this is too divisive, he says, we are not going to let anything happen to that.
You've had your opportunity to talk. Let us talk now. I guess, you know, the ultimate question is, though, and it sounds like you're talking about the benefits of unions, and I think there'd be an awful lot of people that would say, yeah, unions do some good work. But what we're asking here is whether right to work is good for the state or not. I mean, that's the ultimate question we're looking at right now. Do you have an opinion on that? He's gone. Okay.
But his point on the Hostess Twinkies, the point was they said they couldn't be cost effective anymore and sell their products successfully because union wages had driven the price of their product up so high it was no longer competitive in the marketplace. So they took the company into bankruptcy, voided their contracts, and they're now selling the same Hostess Twinkies for exactly the same price they were, only they're paying their workers a lot less.
It's being sold by a different company now. I mean, but they sold the brand.
But the price did not go down.
Well, that's and a different company. You can't necessarily pin that on them. They bought the brand. They can sell it for whatever they want.
So then the company who took the company bankrupt, those people were lying. It wasn't the fact they were paying their workers too much because they're selling it for the same price now.
It's a different company that's selling the Hostess stuff.
But
it's
they didn't have to lower their price to have a saleable
company.
Product.
It's a different company that bought the products. Hostess doesn't exist
anymore.
That's
just an excuse for union busting, Jeremy. Now it's a different company, and so
it is a different company.
They're pocketing the money they're pocketing the money that used to go to the workers. The price of the Twinkie did not go down.
The price
of the Twinkie stayed the same, and yet they said the problem was that the union bakers were making too good a living.
So they got rid of
the union bakers, and the price didn't go down.
The price of the Twinkie is set by the company that bought the brand for Twinkie. It's not even the same company anymore that's making them.
And so they're just selling that product.
They're just selling the product.
And making increased profits.
Well, how do you know that? It's a different company. You're sitting here blaming them for the problems that Hostess had when they bought the brand. I mean, it's a totally different concept. You had your say here. Hang on. And when you look at the Hostess situation, they went into bankruptcy. They opened the books to the unions and said, look what we're facing. Look at the problems that we're having. There were two unions involved. One of them looked at it and said, yeah, you're having some problems there. We can see that. We're going to work with you. The other union said, forget that. We have problems with this. Go ahead and close. It was the union that caused the company to close. If they would have just simply said, you know what, we're going to work with you, we're going to try and keep these jobs intact, then we wouldn't be in the situation we are today with that. But instead, they decided, no, we're going to hold up and we want what we want when we want it. And all of those people were let go. The company was shuttered. The brands were sold. It's gone now.
But if you wonder where the middle class of this country is going, it's in moves exactly like you're justifying, saying, well, it's a new company.
It's a new company because they bought the brands.
You're just apologizing for union busting.
I'm not apologizing for union busting. They were trying to keep their business afloat, and they couldn't do it because the union came along and said, no, we're not going to let you.
They decided they could make more money by selling the products to another company, that was more profitable.
No, they couldn't stay in business. That's why they went into bankruptcy.
No.
You can't argue with that. They went into bankruptcy because they couldn't stay in business.
No, they went into bankruptcy because they saw more value in selling the products to other companies than to continue making Twinkies themselves.
They were trying to keep the business afloat.
Maximizing shareholder value, and they determined that the maximum shareholder value was attained by selling the products, not by selling Twinkies.
Okay, so in other words, they were making more money for shareholders by making the stocks go through the floor and go into bankruptcy.
By selling the assets in bankruptcy, they could make more money for their shareholders than they could making Twinkies.
I have to disagree on that. Let's see what Bob thinks about that. Bob, you're on the line. Welcome.
Hey, I just want to say that I think right to work is not good for Michigan.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. One is generally union workers are skilled labor.
Okay.
And I believe that union workers, let me back up a little bit. I think right to work was simply a union busting tactic. And now the unions, which are mostly skilled labor, if you think about it, electrical unions, plumbers unions.
Not always, but Bill Wright, okay, I'm with you.
There are many, many union members that are skilled labor. And they're just not going to accept the wages that right to work states have to offer. Another thing that's wrong with the right to work plan and getting jobs into Michigan is the logistics. Michigan doesn't pay any attention to their roads. You have to move your product when you move a business to Michigan. You have to move your product. By Michigan not paying any attention to their roads, it makes it very difficult for a company to say, okay, I'm going to move there, and now I've got the logistics problem of moving my product.
Well, Bob, wait a minute, just because isn't this the same state where there are two seasons, winter and construction season?
I don't follow you, Jeremy.
Well, when it comes to roads, I mean, that's one thing you see in Michigan is there's two seasons. You got winter, and then there's road construction season.
Yes.
So if they're paying attention to the roads, how do they not pay attention?
Michigan not investing in infrastructure or not.
So then who's doing all the road construction?
Pardon?
Who's doing all the road construction then if they're not investing in infrastructure?
Who is doing the road construction?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you're saying they're not investing. Somebody's investing in it. They're doing it out there.
But Michigan ranks like number 48 in the country for quality of highways.
Which is something they're working on. Obviously, they're investing in it.
No, they're not.
Then who's doing the construction out there?
We're doing some, but we're not keeping up with the demand, and our infrastructure continues to deteriorate.
Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob, for the call. We are coming up to the top of the hour. Lively debates. Keep it here.
Continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.